others, we want to stay residential, or the remainder want to stay residential. What kind of zoning map are you going to have if you allow individual condo units to request zoning changes? How could I, if I'm a future developer, come in and look at your maps online and say, oh, now I know what that particular parcel is? Because it's not. It's, you can't draw a map that shows that multiple uses on one condominium building. So I think the applications by individual condo units are not proper. I would also point out that the Planning Commission for this particular group request for the six, they approved it and sent it to you, but the vote was 5-3 in that particular evening. I just want to point that out as well. And I believe at least two of the three votes were because they thought this was not permissible for individual units to be zoned separately. My concern is if this does get zoned, nightly rentals, and you're going to have two additional eight-unit condos attached to the north and south of the existing building, you're setting a precedent now to allow lifestyle contractors to come in and say, you've already done it for the existing building. We are an attached building, and therefore the 16 condos they're going to build there should also be nightly rentals. And I really think that's a pretty good argument. What I think they should have done is sought conditional use permits for various reasons. If you grant them conditional use permits, you can revoke those conditional use permits under your zoning regulations. If, for example, I believe your rules and regulations state if there was some contact with the sheriff's office and the sheriff's office couldn't get a hold of the specific manager, and over two times within a year, then you can revoke a conditional use permit. And I would suggest that's the proper thing, as opposed to zoning four or six units out of 10 as nightly rentals. Conditional use permits also run with the land until that land is turned over, run with that unit until that unit is turned over to another owner. I believe at that point in time, a new conditional use permit would have to be sought by the new owner. I don't know, it was mentioned, by the way, just to rebut a couple things here, it was mentioned that the declarations were not filed or recorded. I don't know what that means. You say it's pretty meaningless in your respect, but I understand what Scott handed you was recorded. Can I ask what the date of the recording was on that?
October 27, 2007.
When I said it,
yes.
Things can be recorded doesn't mean it's been through the proper channels of planning, zoning, or whatever those. They're two separate issues.
Okay, very good. I would also point out the gentleman. One gentleman said he saw on Beacon where this thing was zoned nightly rentals. I just happen to have a copy of a Beacon statement. Now, I will admit this one was printed December 12th of 2021, and it pertains to just one of the parcels, but I couldn't see anything on here that says approved for nightly rentals, so I would like to present that to you as well. And actually, there's a couple of them here, so I want to present that to you all. But again, back to the basics. I simply ask you, is there another condominium unit in Taney County where part of the units are zoned nightly rental and part of the units are zoned residential or commercial or whatever? Is anybody aware of that?
Point Rail.
Well, I don't think that's, is Point Rail Branson or is that Taney County?
City of Branson annexed most, I thought they had annexed all of it in, but it was stated the other night, and I've not had time to check on that, stated the other night that there's some still in Taney County. I didn't realize that.
Emerald Point is another one
as well. So condominium buildings with various units are zoned differently. Okay, then.
Well, that's not zoning. What ownership, you were saying, the city of Branson rules are different than Taney County. And when Taney County annexed in Point of Rail, they took in part of it. I think it was a voluntary basis. And then later they took in much more. I thought they ended up with all of it, but it was stated that there was one or two that was still in the county. Can't verify that.
Well, it seems I just thought zoning had to do with more of the land, and in this instance, the owners of the property, each unit does not own the land. It's common ground. It declares own the land, and they should have been the one proper party to bring a zoning request for all participants. And the other thing, I guess, if you zone six of the units nightly rental, does that affect the other parcels on the property as whether they're going to be taxed as commercial or residential? Maybe not. I just think it's an issue up for grabs. And I want to reiterate what Mike presented with you now, that they indicated they've been acting and paying properly as nightly rentals, and I think that particular letter in your hand suggests otherwise. So on behalf of the 24 residents at Redbud, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the zoning map on Emerald Point. I'm not seeing individual condo units being... What I'm seeing is all of them are either R3, and then you go to another part that's a little more southeast, and that's NR3.
The complex that I have been referring to is Emerald Bay and Emerald Point, where they have about 15 condos in a building of two buildings that have 30 plus units, and those 15 are allowed to lease out while the other ones are not.
Is it a conditional use, or is it a...
It's a judge ruling. Yeah. There's a court case that said those 15 unit owners could continue to do it, and they're all listed. So it's a
It's a little different.
May I speak to that?
Only to us.
Is it because they were grandfathered in under your rules and zoning rules?
That I don't know.
I mean, there is a clause for grandfathering in that I read, and so I think if they wanted to go under that basis with respect to not zoning it as nightly rental, they could be grandfathered in under your own rules and regulations.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Now, I'm assuming, Scott, you tell me, if we were to do it, they would probably all be zoned as nightly rental. It's just the individuals that wanted to live there full-time, they could use it however they wanted them living there. And then as far as being taxed, that'd be up to the assessor as to how she taxed it. I mean, is that...
Correct. You can do full-time living in
nightly rental, and then, so I'm assuming, to your point, I'm assuming it would all be, every parcel would probably be switched over to commercial or to NR3, NR1.
Okay, can we do that?
Well, you need resolution for the planning commission.
My point is that's probably what would end up happening.
Correct.
And then from there, the individuals that live there could live there full-time. Mm-hmm. And then the assessor would assess them as residential because they're not using it in the nightly rental. So the map would still show commercial, or would still show to NR3.
I understand that, and I agree with that. My only concern is if you do that, then you're setting a precedent for lifestyle contractors come in and say, versus either grandfathering in or letting these owners have a conditional use permit or special use permit. I think there's totally two different stories.
Go ahead, sir. State your name and your address, please.
My name is Terry Fleeman. Address is 1516 Santa Cove, Springdale, Arkansas. I represent my mother and my late father, Leroy and Barbara Fleeman. They own Unit 110 there at Rosebud. One of the things that I wanted to make sure, I made this a point last month. My father and I are and have been developers for many, many, many years. Over the course of time, he and I have worked, me and myself, I've got over 40 years of multifamily, commercial property, and numerous developments that we've put in down home, of course. This is, of course, a different study because I'm a little out of my element here in Missouri. But one of the things that I've always known with what we did in business was business always had risk. And what I'm seeing here is that somebody's wanting to have risk turned into a guarantee And I'm sorry for that. I've lost some money, too, on other investments that we've made. But that goes along with the territory. Last month, I made a comment about, and Mike alluded to that some, about no on-site management team. With our properties, we had, we were ourselves. We owned and managed them. We didn't manage them out. And we were within 20 minutes, 24 hours a day of all properties. I don't see anywhere on here where someone's going to be willing to sell one of their properties or give it up for an on-site management team or somebody else locally. I overheard you, sir, say something about, rental property has its place. I agree, and I just don't think this is it. We have always had to go through buffer zones. There's some kind of buffering between a family residential, which is what Rosebud is, and what the other development is. I don't know what you all want to classify that buffer as to be, but I know it's not trees and bushes. I don't see the fit there with the two pieces of property. We also own several properties across the United States, in several different states. All those properties have on-site management teams in place. And those are for owned properties, not rented properties. There's another couple of issues that haven't been really brought up, and that is, during last month's meeting when I came here before you, I pulled out at 76 and Lakeshore Drive. I sat there for almost 20 minutes trying to get out. I can only imagine what these other properties are going to wind up creating in a traffic hindrance at that location. I know, too, there's also the issue with the Kennecott Camp. On several occasions, I have had to myself come to a complete stop to let campers as well as administrators and counselors cross the road. That also is going to wind up being something that needs to be looked at. I think that's about all that I've got that I need to cover. But I appreciate y'all for your time. I know you guys have got a big decision, and it's a tough decision. And I just hope and pray that the decision is a amicable one between all parties. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name's Harold Nestor, and I reside at 1573 Redbud, or Lakeshore Drive at Redbud. And I just have one comment to make, actually, and it's to thank Mr. Williams having the insight to understand that just because something happens doesn't mean it's reported. I was a policeman for 17 years, and I don't know how many times I said to people when they called me, said this has been going on, and I would say, well, why didn't you call? Well, we just didn't want to call. So I found over my years that most times, unless there's something is lost of value in an incident, or unless there's some bloodshed, people don't call. And that's pretty much the way it is with the condos, is things happen, it's dealt with, and it's let go. So thank you for having me inside of that.
Anyone else want to come back up?
Hi, Rob Hefner. I just wanted to restate a couple of things. So first of all, I represent only the existing association, which is comprised of 10 units. So it's at times it seems like we're grouped together with the new development and the existing development. That's not the case. Our organization or our association is just the 10 units. So how you rule on that should not be a precedent.